Today's shiur is sponsored by Theodore and David Mervis in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Rabbi Alan Mervis, Zichronam Livracha, of Hampton, Virginia, and Jerusalem. May we be blessed with good health and a long life. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And I'm going to turn it over to Shira to begin. And really excited to learn all this stuff. It seems really interesting.
Shalom, everyone. Happy to be here with you. Today, I wanted to talk about Rav Yosef Mashash. And as I told Rabbi Kalman, it's actually family. It's my family. I'm a descendant in some way of Rav Mashash. So this is very close to home. In my Savta house, we had a big picture of Rav Mashash in the wall in the living room. So this is a figure that I grew up looking at his picture. But only now, when I'm a bit older and I know to learn a bit more halakha, I can actually appreciate Rav Mashash and his enormous donation, his enormous truma that he gave to Am Yisrael and that he gave bichlal to psikat halacha. And I think that it's very important to understand the set of mind of Rav Mashash, to understand his assumptions even before he's giving the psak, in order to understand how come he's posek like that. Because a lot of times we only hear about Rav Mashash that he was very groundbreaking and very innovating and very creative in his psikei halacha. But in order to understand where's it coming from, what was he thinking? What was his halachic thought that brought him to write such innovating halacha? And that's what I want to try and do today. If that's okay with you, I'm going to share the screen so you would see my presentation. So we're going to talk about Rav Yosef Mashash, but especially we're going to focus about Rav Mashash's approach towards women in general, Kisui Rosh, learning Torah, but we'll try to learn about him. This is the picture. I love that picture. That's Rav Yosef Mashash. Rav Mashash was born in 1892, and he passed away in 1974. He was born in Morocco. He was born in Morocco, and he was the chief rabbi of Algeria at some point. And after that, he made Aliyah and he came to Israel. And he was the chief rabbi of Haifa. And he wrote a lot of books. He wrote 48 books. He wrote poets and songs. I actually also brought a song, if you want to listen to it, maybe at the end of one of his piyutim. He wrote a lot of piyutim. So I thought it will be nice to hear one of his piyutim. And he was a great Talmid Chacham, a great scholar. And he is mamash remembered and well known for his shutim, for his Sifrei Halacha, question and answers books, Maim Chaim, ve'otzar ha'michtavim, but basically Maim Chaim. So just to begin with, I wanted to start with two short stories about him. The first story that is told about Rav Mashash is the story about the husband and wife that were fighting among them. So they were fighting. It's a newlywed couple, and there was a lot of tension in between them right after the chatuna. The chatan, the man, accused the wife that she's not keeping the kitchen kosher enough. And therefore, it's hard for him to eat from whatever she's cooking because she's not strict in the kitchen. And the kala and the woman said she's doing exactly what she was told at home and exactly like her mom was doing and her safta was doing. And there was a lot of tension in between that couple. So they went to Rav Toledano. Rav Toledano was the Av Beit Din of Morocco. And Rav Toledano, in addition to being the Av Beit Din, he was also known at being very, very strict and very machmir, because Rav Toledano, I don't know if you remember, we spoke about it, Rav Toledano gave his psakim according to Kabbalah, and he was mamash machmir. So this couple went to Rav Toledano because he was in the Beit Din, and Rav Toledano understood that maybe the wife is not doing strictly kosher halachot laws in the kitchen like she should have. And the chatan, he thought that the men was right, but he didn't want to say that to them, to that young couple, because he was afraid that if it's going to tell them that the man is right and the woman is wrong, it's only going to cause more of a fight and it's not going to help them to live together. So Rav Toledano didn't know what to do, and he told them, you know what, I can't give you an answer, an halachic answer, you should go to Rav Mashash. They went, this couple went to Rav Mashash. Rav Mashash listened to whatever they had to say for them describing their problem, and then he told them that he wants to look at the pot of the casserole, of whatever it is that the woman was cooking and the man was saying that it wasn't kosher. They went home, they brought the pot, and the rabbi, Rav Yosef Mashash, stared in the pot and took some of the meat and ate the meat, gave a bracha and ate. And then he told the couple, here, you can take back your pot. It's kosher. You have nothing to worry about it. Just make sure that you leave me some. It's so good. It tastes amazing. Beseda. When the husband saw that the rabbi himself is eating from the pot, he understood that it's okay and that it's kosher and he can count on it. And they went home and it was fine. But then Rav Mashash, when they left, called the wife and spoke to her privately and told her, listen, this is what you're doing wrong. And this is what you should change in the kitchen. This is what you should change in the way that you're cooking, because halachically, according to kashrut, it's a bit problematic and it's better if you'll do it in a different way. The students of Rav Mashash that heard him talk to the wife said, Rav Mashash, if she was wrong, how come you ate from the pot? How come you ate from the meat? It's forbidden. It wasn't kosher and you ate from it. And Rav Mashash's answer was, Yesh dargot shonot shel isur. There's hierarchy. When something is forbidden, there's hierarchy in asur. Yesh basar ha'asur me'atorah. There's meat that is forbidden from Torah. Yesh midirabanan. Yesh miminhag. Some is forbidden because of minhag. Some is forbidden from sages. Some is forbidden from Torah. This pot, this whatever the thing that she was cooking, this was asur according to minhag. But it wasn't asur according to Torah. It wasn't forbidden according to Torah. And that's why I chose to make sure that they'll have shlom bayit. I chose to rather their shlom bayit to make sure that they will live together and they'll be happy together. And I took it on myself to eat from the pot. Why is this story so beautiful? And I think it's telling us something about Rav Mashash. First of all, that he didn't just spoke to them, but he actually ate from it. He gave them personal example in order to make sure that they understand that he has no problem with whatever it is. Second, that he didn't cause her any shame to the wife. And that's why I think she was able to hear and to listen to what he had to say, because he said it in private to her. And it wasn't out of criticism. It was out of, let me tell you how you can do it differently. And so he changed the whole atmosphere in between the couple. And I think the third thing that I like about the story is that there's stories about Rav Ovadia Yosef. The Rav Ovadia Yosef, the woman came to him, a very poor woman. She came to him with chicken and she said, I cooked this chicken. I bought chicken and I cooked it for my family. But now they're telling me that there was some sort of a problem with the chicken and it's not kosher. With the shechita, Rav Ovadia Yosef looked at the woman. He understood that she was very poor and that's the food that she has. He took from the chicken. He said bracha and he ate from it. And he told her, if I'm eating from it, you can eat from it. There's no halachic problem with it. And the woman went happy home and gave her family the chicken. And Rav Ovadia said, go to the shochet. He did something wrong. This oaf is not kosher. The chicken is not kosher. Shechita is not kosher. You should make sure it's okay. And also, I think it's the same story of the rabbi looking at the person, looking at the situation, and taking it on himself to make it right. The second story that I love, this is also a drawing from Menachem Halberstadt. That I love his pictures. This is him drawing Rav Mashash playing with someone. Check. There was in the community in Morocco, It was a big community. It was flourishing, not like today. Today, there's only like 3,000 Jews in Casablanca. And in the rest of Morocco, there's mamash tiny, tiny communities. But back in those days, at 1900, there was a flourishing communities. And in the communities, even if you weren't halachically Orthodox, you were traditional. And traditional meant that you kept Shabbat. And it was very known in the community that everyone are keeping Shabbat. It was the baseline. Baseline was that everyone are keeping Shabbat. But once there was this one person that publicly didn't keep Shabbat. And the community, after once and twice talking to him, the community have decided to do cherem, to tell him that he, no one is allowed to talk to him, no one is allowed to do business with him, he's not allowed to la'alot la'Torah in shul, he can't be the shliach tzibur, he can't be the chazan. And no one from the community spoke to him because they were afraid that if one person is suddenly in public, is not keeping Shabbat, all of a sudden it will become like a slippery slope and everyone will start disrespecting Shabbat. And therefore, they decided to do cherem on that person. One Shabbat, they saw Rav Mashash, who was already part of the Beit Din. He was already Af Beit Din. He was like well-known Talmid Chacham. And they saw him in Shabbat talking to this man. And they went to Rav Mashash and they told him, Rav Mashash, how can you talk to him? There's cherem about him. He doesn't keep Shabbat in public. What are you doing? How can you do that? So the people of the community warned Rav Mashash, maybe he's not aware, maybe he doesn't know. And Rav Mashash answered them, Yodea ani gam yodea, I'm well aware that this person, you gave a cherem on him. Ve'bishvil mi ledatchem bati lihiyot rav. Who do you think I came to be a rabbi for? What do you think? I'm here to be a rabbi to all the people that are already keeping Shabbat. I'm here to be a rabbi for the people that are not keeping Shabbat. I'm here in order to be available for the people that not necessarily see themselves as part of the community. To be the rabbi of the people that already see themselves as part of the community, that's great. But that's the obvious. I want to be the rabbi to those who doesn't see themselves as part of the community. So that's the second story about Rav Mashash. There's a few short topics that I wanted to show you from Rav Mashash writing that are showing how amazing and how groundbreaking he was. And this is the first topic. And the first topic is Rav Mashash is here in his book, Nachalat Avot, is talking about the importance of rabbis being learned. Rabbis need to learn and not just learn Torah, but they need to know the world. They need to understand reality. They need, if I'll translate it to our days, they need to have a Facebook account. They need to know what's happening. What does the people think? This is what he writes. Ve'yoter l'ro'e ha'shemesh, dehaynu, she'enhem p'kuchot, their eyes are open, the eyes of the rabbis are open, lihitbonen b'inyanei ha'olam, to look in everything that is happening in the world. Ki al yadeken mitpakhim v'mitchadet sichlam. Because by looking at reality, looking at the world, your mind is getting sharper. Kmo shematzinu badorot harishonim, just like it used to be in the first generations, v'ra'inu badorot ha'achronim, also in the later generations, shekol chacham lev, every wise man, shehaita da'ato me'orevet b'inyanei ha'olam, hu lemofet bedoro. Rav Mashash is saying here that the great rabbis in each generation were dafka the rabbis that knew what was going on in the world, that knew what was going on in reality in the society around them. They were not just those Talmidei Chachamim who were sitting at the Beit Midrash and knew only to quote books and to quote halakha, and they only knew what was going on within the walls of the Beit Midrash. But the Gdol Dor, the person who is really the phenomenon of the generation, he's the person that has to know what's happening in reality, what's happening in society. Ve'kol she'en lo esek b'inyanei ha'olam, and if you don't understand, if you don't have business with this world, chokhmato b'torah mele'a p'tiyut v'tmimut v'gam ba'arut. So if you don't understand reality, if you're not connected to what is happening in society, today in your generation, then even if you know a lot of Torah, even if you are wise in Torah, but your Torah is full of naive. You're very naive, but naive not in the good sense, not naive in the sense of tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha, but naive in the sense that you don't understand what's going on in the world. Vegam ba'arut ba'ar, someone who is, I wouldn't say stupid, but I would say not wise. Okay, so you can be wise in Torah, but if you don't know what's happening in the society around you, then you don't really know what's happening. And it's affecting your Torah. This is something, even though it's short, it's very basic in the Torah of Rav Mashash, in the way that Rav Mashash not just saw the world and saw the community and saw his role as a rabbi of a community, but also this is how Rav Mashash was posek halacha. Because in the eyes of Rav Mashash, in order to lifsok halacha, it's not enough for you to know books and to know halacha and to read Shulchan Aruch and to know to quote Rambam, but you have to understand the society and the world around you. I'm going to prove it to you from other psakim of Rav Mashash, but I just wanted to bring you. This quote here is Rav Mashash talking against, and I'm saying it very gently, about Kabbalah. He said, Rav Mashash said, I'm not going to read it. If you want, you have it in your pages. I'm just going to say it very shortly. Rav Mashash is saying that we used to have great wise people who know their way in Kabbalah. But today in our generation, there is a lot of people that think that they understand Kabbalah. They think that they know Kabbalah, but they don't really. And therefore, you have to be careful about it. You have to know that you don't know. And that's why Rav Mashash is saying, even if you know Gimatria and you can change letters to numbers and you can play around with Kabbalah a tiny bit, that doesn't mean that you understand Kabbalah. Not like the way that the real Chachamim of Kabbalah understand and know Kabbalah. And therefore, Rav Mashash is like saying, put it aside. Put it aside. If you don't really understand it, don't play around with it. And he's talking here against people that know like a tiny bit of Kabbalah and they show themselves as if they know a lot of Kabbalah or as if they understand everything. And Rav Mashash is saying, there's only few people in the world that actually know Kabbalah and understand Kabbalah. And if you're not one of these people, so leave it aside. I brought this quote because I wanted to show you that if we spoke about Ben Ish Chai and how Ben Ish Chai was posek according to Kabbalah, here Rav Mashash is taking a step backwards and he's saying you can be a great posek but not according to Kabbalah. So according to what? How come? What is his? How does Rav Mashash posek halacha? So this is Rav Mashash, way of psikat halacha. Can you see it? Okay. This is how it goes. So we have halacha. And halacha is actually a component of three things. There's three different ingredients. The first thing is din. Din, meaning the law, halacha. I would say here, Shulchan Aruch. And the other two kodkodim that we have here in order to lifsok halacha is sechel, logic. And this, the Rav needs to have the set of mind, meaning he needs to be able to look at the person that is asking him the question, to understand the context, to understand the situation, and to put that into the halacha. And also, a rabbi needs to take into account the time, meaning what are other people doing? In what way is that different than Ashkenazi way of psikat halacha? Ashkenazi way of psikat halacha would be according to the law. meaning according to Shulchan Aruch. How does Shulchan Aruch posek halacha, even though Shulchan Aruch is not Ashkenazi? But that's the way that most people, I would say, would go according to it. Just like Shulchan Aruch, according to Arbat Amudei Ahoraa, nachon, you would take Rambam, Rif, Rosh, Tur, those four Rishonim, and you would say, okay, where do I have the majority? And then the Bet Yosef will write to you, because Rambam and Rif are saying one thing, I'm going together with the Rambam and the Rif. Because the Tur and the Rosh and the Rambam are saying one thing, this is how I'm going to do the Psak. And this is what basically Ashulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, is doing in the Beit Yosef. In the Beit Yosef, he's writing the whole halachic discussion, and he's bringing the opinion of the halachic opinion of Rambam, Rosh, Tur, sometimes Rif as well. And according to these three or these four, he would give the psak halacha. And this is the lamdanut. This is how you posek halacha according to lamdanut, according to learning, according to the sugiyah, according to understanding the hishtalshelut ilchatit from Chumash to Mishnah to Gemara to Bet Yosef. And then you would have in the Bet Yosef Rambam Rosh Tur. Rav Mashash is saying, it is, that's how you posek halacha. It's true and it's very important, but it's only one angle. And in addition to that angle, you have two more angles that you have to take into account when someone is coming to you with a halachic question. The first thing is that you have to have common sense. As a rabbi, you have to have common sense. You have to use your sechel. You have to use your logic. I'm going to give you an example. There was a halachic question, a woman that have contractions on Shabbat, how should she get to the hospital? And there was a whole halachic discussion, beautiful halachic discussion, how to get to the hospital. Deoraita, derabanan, should she drive, take a non-Jewish driver, taxi driver, ambulance? A whole halachic discussion, very interesting, very beautiful. One of the rabbis wrote a whole beautiful article, halachic article about it. And the bottom line was, his psak halacha was, so into my opinion, a woman that have contractions on Shabbat and needs to get to the hospital, she should ride a bicycle. Yes, I think it's funny also. And then when his talmidim came to him and told him, what do you mean? A woman in contraction, she can't ride the bicycle. What are you talking about? He said, no, it's not halacha lemaase. It's lamdanut, it's logic, it's halachic logic. It's like, if you go from Chumash to Mishnah to Gemara to Rambam to that, so ofanaim, bicycle, it's not deoraita, it's maybe the rabbanan, it's something that you can lehakel. So it's the way, like a whole discussion, but the whole discussion was not connected to reality. And this is something that would never happen with Rav Mashash, because Rav Mashash is saying, lamdanut is very important. Knowing the law is very important. Knowing Bet Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, it's very important. But it has to be connected to common sense. And it has to be connected to the public, to the time. Meaning, if during your time, it is considered okay, or it's considered, I'll give you another example. It's considered dangerous to take an Arabic driver, taxi driver. So don't take an Arabic driver, even if you would say that on Shabbat, it's better to take a non-Jewish driver because he's driving and they're not you. And it's halachically, it's easier. But if where you live, for example, I live in Efrat, and taking an Arabic driver, non-Jewish driver would be an Arabic, and to take an Arabic driver could be dangerous, then you can't do it. Then it's not a halachic option for you. And that's the time, like meaning you need... It's not a good example. A good example of Rav Mashash taking into consideration the time and the public would be in Kisui Rosh. And this is what I want to show you, the Psak Halacha. First of all, this is a beautiful picture of Rav Mashash. Look at his eyes. I think that's already in Haifa, when he was the chief Sephardi rabbi of Haifa. So that's the picture that I brought you. Before we go into Kisui Rosh, into women covering their heads, I wanted also to show you Rav Mashash was a great Zionist. And throughout all the years that he lived in Morocco, he kept on talking about the importance of going to Eretz Israel. And I brought you just a few lines to read about the thought or the thought of Rav Mashash about Eretz Israel. Ve'umnam belibi haya hadavar yoked ka'esh. In my heart, it was burning like fire. Ve'tamid hayiti choshev, and I was always thinking, מה זה עשה אלוקים לנו? What did הקדוש ברוך הוא do to us? במקום לחסל את הגלות, אנחנו עושים לכיוונים, להמשיכה ולקיימה. Instead of vanishing the exile, instead of saying there is no Jewish life outside of Israel, what we're doing is we're making it easy to live outside of Israel. We're making it possible to live outside of Israel. What are we doing? ואני הייתי בוכה במסתרים, and I was crying in hiding place, al shelibi lo haya chazak kol kach, because my heart wasn't strong enough lenatek et mosorotav mehagalut kapara sorera, that I wasn't strong enough to disconnect myself from my place, from my traditions, to leave Morocco, velehashlich al Hashem yavi, and just to say, Hashem, I trust you, and just to go with it, ולעלות בשמחה לארצנו, and to go to Israel with joy, והבוחן לבבות וכליות, אלוקים צדיק, and הקדוש ברוך הוא, who knows into the hearts, היה מגיני וקרן אישי מסגבי, he knows. באמת, so it was a lot of years that Rav Mashash really wanted to move to Israel, but he had a formal job, he had a formal title in Morocco, he was the head rabbi in Algier for a lot of years, and then the head rabbi in Meknes and the Av Beit Din. And then at one point, I think in Shnat Tashmad something, he decided to move to Israel, and he came to Israel, he made Aliyah, he moved to Israel, and he became the chief Sephardi rabbi of Haifa till the day that he passed, and he passed in 1974. Okay, this is something beautiful. So Rav Mashash is famous for talking about electricity. So there's one famous halachic answer that I didn't bring to you about electricity. The tradition of Morocco, the masoret of the community of Morocco, is that during the days of Chag, and I want to emphasize it, not on Shabbat, but on Chag, you can use electricity. So now today, I don't know, like I'm Moroccan, but my family doesn't do that. Kilo, I think it was ancient tradition that when we came to Israel, I think it stopped at some point, and everyone are now doing according to Shulchan Aruch, and they are not keeping all the traditions from Morocco. But I know for fact that the Jews of Morocco used electricity in Chag in order to differentiate between Shabbat and Chag and the different levels of Shabbat and Chag. Rav Mashash wrote about using electricity during Chag, but he also wrote about electricity Bichlal. And this is something beautiful that he wrote about electricity that I wanted to show you. Ve'od ani omer, and I'm saying something more. De'bashut ve'baruch, it is simple and it is obvious. שאם היה אור האלקטריסיטי מצוי בזמן המקדש, that if we had electricity during the time of בית המקדש, ודאי שבו היו מדליקים המנורה. It is for sure, it's very obvious for me that if in the times of בית המקדש we would had electricity, we would light menorah not with oil, but with electricity. And why? How does Rav Mashash explain that? משום שאי אפשר היה להיות שנמלא בתינו החולים באורים גדולים של אור החשמל היקר הזה. Because it doesn't make any sense that in our house, that our house of chol, that our house of not of kodesh, that it's not בית המקדש, just a regular house that everyone lives in. It doesn't make sense that in our home, we would turn on the electricity and we will have beautiful electricity with big lights, like shining lights, שהוא מעין דוגמה של מעלה, that it resembles, if it's the light of the heavens, ובבית אלוקנו הקדוש נדליק בשמן זית. But in the house of הקדוש ברוך הוא, in בית המקדש, we would light in olive oil, שאפילו העניים הגרועים מועסים אותו בזמן הזה. That in our days, even the poor people are not using oil in order to light their house. נכון? Even the poor people, Even if you're poor, you're still using electricity in your house. So in Beit HaMikdash, we're going to use olive oil? Of course not. We're going to use electricity. ופשוט שממנו נדליק בבית האחרון שיבנה במהרה בימינו, אמן. And it is simple to me, says Rav Mashash, that בעזרת השם, when third Beit HaMikdash would come, we are going to light the menorah in electricity and not with oil. I brought it because I thought that it shows how just logic and straightforward thinking. It's very simple for him and it's very obvious for him to say that we're going to light the menorah not with oil but with electricity. And I think that it's very interesting to see, for example, Rav Ovadia Yosef would say that if you don't have oil, for example, you're out in campsite or in the middle of a trip during Hanukkah, so you can light Hanukkah candles with electricity. And also Rav Ovadia would say, if you're in a hotel and you're not allowed to light candles in your room, then you should light electricity, like a special lamp, and you should say bracha, shel levarech al hadlakat ner Shabbat, and turn on the lights. And I think it's all coming from this, that electricity and light, it's just coming to replace the oil. And today we have something that can replace it. So I think it's very interesting to see. And now we're coming to talk. I wanted to speak about two different halachot. One, the first one would be about kisui rosh, covering the head, the hair for women. And the second thing is about learning Torah for women. So the first thing, and this is one of the psakim that is Rav Mashash is most famous about. I don't know what it's like outside of Israel, but in Israel, you would see very religious girls that wouldn't cover their hair. And if you'll talk to them, they'll say, oh, I'm counting on Rav Mashash. Rav Mashash said that we can, and they could be Ashkenazi, they can be whatever they want. But it's a well-known phrase. Rav Mashash, he said that women doesn't have to cover their hair. So I want to say it's a bit more complicated than that. It's not just Rav Mashash saying, everyone take your head cover off. And I can also say that we are not going according to, meaning it didn't hitkabel lahalacha. We're not going according to Rav Mashash, therefore my hair covering. But it is one opinion, and it's not the opinion that we're going according to her, because most of the poski, most of the rabbis didn't agree with Rav Mashash. But I think it's beautiful the way that he analyzed halakha and the way that he uses the law, the logic, and the time in order to write such a beautiful psak. So this is what Rav Mashash is writing about Kisui Rosh. Dabni, you should know my son, ki asur gilui harosh lenesuot haya chamur etzlenu po machanenu ze kadosh. You should know that the prohibition of not covering your hair was very strict here in our community, meaning all the women used to cover their heads. It was very obvious. It was very something that everyone did. וכן בכל ערי המערב, everywhere in the Islamic countries, טרם בוא הצרפתים, before the French conquered the countries, the Arab countries, ואח אחרי בואם במעט זמן, and even a bit after the French came, פרצו בנות ישראל גדר בזה. After the French conquered all the Arab countries, בנות ישראל, the daughters of Israel, started to do something else, something different. Partzu gader, meaning they broke the fence. They broke the way and they did something else.
You're frozen.
It was very dramatic. And a lot of the rabbis and the wise people, Yir'e Elokim ve'ach me'at kama sha'on ledmama. So at the beginning, it was very dramatic, but slowly it became silent. ויחדלו הקולות, and the rabbis stopped giving criticism about it, כי לא הועילה שום תוכחה. Meaning at the beginning, they gave criticism, the rabbis, the wise men, all the people that it was important for them that women will cover their head. They gave criticism about it, and it was dramatic, and everyone spoke about it. But slowly, slowly, it was last night, yesterday news, and it became old news, and zeh, no criticism was useful. Lo benachat velo be'esh mitlakachat. Not to speak nicely and try to explain, and not to get angry like fire and to be upset. Nothing helped. Ki en chazak ki isha amru kadmonim. Why nothing helped? Because there's nothing that could be as strong as a woman. Ve'ata kol anashim yotzot beresh gale pru'e se'ar. Now all the women are going out in the streets with their hair outside. Zulat haskenotem shemechasin et roshan. Besides for the older generation, the older women that are still covering their heads. Velo kula, rak manichim chelek galui mitzad panim. And even then, they don't cover all of their hair, but they're just putting something to show that they're covering their hair, but everything at the back is, the hair is outside. Ve'ani belechti besi'ata dishmaya lesharet קודש בעיר תהילת על המסיין זה כ-30 שנה. And when I went to be the head rabbi, the chief rabbi of Talemisan, which is in Algier, and he was the chief rabbi there for 30 years, ראיתי הדבר פשוט שם. I saw that it was very simple. ובכל המחוז, not just in that city, but everywhere in that area, גם הזקנות, also the old ladies, כולם פרועי ראש. Everyone was going with their hair outside. Im kama mineti glachot meshunot, kasher nimshach gam hadavar po be'areh ha'ma'arav. So this is something that is going in a lot of Arabic countries, that women are going with their hair outside and they're not covering their head. Ve'od ki uta tshuva ze lehayom 45 shanim, she'az kol anashim be'Morocco ve'rubam be'Algeran hayu be'rosh mechuseh. It used to be that in Morocco, in Algeria, everyone used to cover their hair, but now it is not like that. Al Elyan, and now he's explaining the halachic issue here. Al Elyan, gilui rosh beisha, lo ba lide alav shum she'ela, v'haya asuro pashut lakol. Meaning it was obvious for everyone that is forbidden to walk outside with your hair if you are a married woman. ולכן כאשר הוספתי בתשובתי נופח להתיר באנשים מאים כל חי, בדרך אגב, הסרתי מעט הנוגע לגבי הנשים. Meaning, what did Rav Mashash wrote? Rav Mashash wrote a halachic answer from men that they don't have to cover all of their heads. And when he wrote a halachic answer from men that they are not obligated to cover all of their heads, he also wrote in like a tiny comment that also women are not obligated to cover all of their hair. Onam achar kach kasher ha'eter nitpashat me'elav gam etzel anashim. But later on, this, what I wrote, that it's not, that you don't have to cover all of your hair, it's spread out. Mipnei she'etchilu hem limshol bagvarim, because women became stronger than the men, and they are ruling over the men, they're telling the men what to do. So some women would cover their hair with a wig, with a sheitel. Some will do a hat or a techol, like the fabric. Af shenishar chelek me'arosh im arbe se'ar megule. Even if the hair is coming on the outside, on the other side. But it doesn't matter. And everyone were asking about it. Yesh al kulam yesh me'arerim. Ve'bau elai marbe she'elot. Everyone came to me asking, is it okay? Can we take our hair out? Should we put a mitpachat on? Should we cover some of our hair, part of our hair? Ve'eshavti lehatir bepe'ah nochrit uvemitpachat. And I said that it is okay to cover your hair and to leave hair outside if you're wearing a sheitel or a wig, or if you're wearing a techol, a mitpachat, the fabric. Af shechelek gadol me'asear nishar megule. So you're putting the mitpachat, but a big chunk of your hair is actually outside. וכן ראיתי ורואה יום יום אצל כל האשכנזים, and I see it even in Ashkenazic countries, אפילו החרדות שבחרדות, גם נשי אדמורים, everyone are doing so, wearing a tichel or wearing a sheitel with their hair outside. And now, in a different place, in Maim Chaim, it's his question and answer halachic book, he's explaining why did he said that it's not, that it's okay to do so. דבני, כי יסוד מוסד לאסור גילוי הראש בנשים, הוא מפני שנהגו נשי העולם בימי קדם לחסות את ראשם. The reason to say that a woman has to cover their head is because in ancient years, all the women, that was the culture. Women used to cover their head. ואישה המגלה את ראשה נחשבת לאישה פרוצה. And a woman that is walking with her hair outside, not covered, is considered to be a woman that that is not a working woman. גם היה נחשב אצלם גילוי שיער באישה לניבול. It was considered inappropriate for a woman to walk outside with her hair. ואם כן, בזמן הזה, but today, in our times, שכל נשי העולם ביטלו מנהג הקודם, that all the women in the world canceled the previous tradition וחזרו למנהג פשוט, and they are back into the regular tradition, לגלות את ראשם, to walk with their hair outside. ואין להם בזה שום חיסרון צניעות. And it's not because they're not צנועות. There's nothing to do with צניעות that they're walking with their hair not covered. ולא פריצות חלילה. And it's not חס וחלילה something that is inappropriate. וכל שכן שאין להם בזה שום ניבול. And it's not something that they're doing wrong. And why Rav Yosef Mashash is saying that it's not wrong to go with your hair? Because you have to look around you. And if all the women in the world are walking with their hair outside, meaning it's okay. In ancient days, it used to be like, for example, in the days of the Rambam is writing, a woman is allowed to walk out of her house once a month to visit the sick. Because in the days of the Rambam, women in the Islamic country that the Rambam was in, women were not walking around in the streets. And when they were outside in the street, in the market, or visiting the sick, they would be covered head to toe. Rav Mashash is writing, when that was the cultural thing to do, that women were covered head to toe, so that's what you should have done. But today, if you look right and left, most of the women in the world are not covering their head. And hair is something that you see in the street all the time. And that's why it is not chas v'chalila choser tzni'ut, and it is not something that is wrong, but this is just doing whatever the culture is doing. And that's why, according to Rav Mashash, it's allowed. Im ken, ata, shekol benot Yisrael eskima da'atan she'en lahim bekisui harosh shum tzni'ut, all the women of Israel are agreeing that covering your head, it's not because of tzni'ut. There's nothing that is not tzanua with your hair. וכל שכן, שאין להם בגילוי הראש שום ניבול, there's nothing wrong with the hair. ועד רבה, גילוי שערן הוא הודן ויופיין ותפארתן. And more than that, showing your hair, it's showing your beauty, it's showing your grace, it's showing your glory. ובגילוי שערה מתגאה האישה לפני בעלה ובועלה. And with your hair, this is what makes you look so beautiful. And it's important that you'll be beautiful for your husband. אלא אם כן נעקר האיסור מעיקרו. And that's why Rav Mashash is writing, it is not forbidden anymore to walk outside with your hair. ונעשה היתר. And it's okay, it's מותר to walk with your hair, because that's the culture, and that's what most of the people in the society are doing. וכל אדם מבשרו יחזה, and every person can see it for himself, שרואה אלפי נשים עוברות לפניו יום יום בראש מגולה. If you walk downtown Yerushalayim, if you go downtown Tel Aviv, and if you go downtown Toronto or New York, most of the women would be with their hair out in the open. ואינו שם ליבו להן. And it's not something that is causing the men to look twice. Ooh, this woman is going with her hair. It's something to look at. No, it's very common in the street. והמערהר לא מחמת שיער גלוי מערהר. And if there's a man that have inappropriate thoughts or sexual thoughts in his head, it is not because of the hair is outside. Why Rav Mashash is saying that? Because he says if you go to the street, everyone have their hair outside. So if you have sexual thoughts, it's not because of the hair. So this is Rav Mashash about the hair, about the hair covering, and it's very groundbreaking. And even though I'm Moroccan and I am descendant of Rav Mashash, as you can see, I am still covering my hair because I highly appreciate his thought and his psikat halacha. But in this matter specifically, I think most of the rabbanim are disagreeing with Rav Mashash. So it's a machloket. It's a halachic argument. So you can take either way. You can decide for yourself, who do you agree with? How did Rav Mashash saw women bichlal at his generation? And this is what he's writing in his book, Nachalat Avot. Nachalat Avot is Rav Mashash writing about Pirkei Avot. And he said that it was important for him to write about Pirkei Avot because he wanted to write a book that would be easy to read, something that will be interesting, light reading. Not all of his books are halakha and shutim and questions and answer and learned halakha. He wanted also to write a book that simple people would be able to read and be inspired by it. And that's why he wrote Nachalat Avot, that is talking about a Mishnah shel Masechet Avot. And he's telling a lot of stories in that book. And this is one thing that he's saying. ראיתי על הספר כי באיזה מקומות בספרד, I saw that in some places in Spain, היו הנשים הקשרות, המלומדות, the kosher woman, the learned woman, קמות בהשכמה גדולה לבית הכנסת שלהם. They would get up very early in the morning, what we call תפילת ותיקין, early in the morning, and they would go to shul. והיו מתפללות בציבור, and they would go to shul and daven in public. ואחת מהנה היו מקימות לשליחת הציבורה, and they would nominate one of the women to be the חזנית, to be the שליחת ציבור. והיו מוציאות ספר תורה, and they would take out the ספר תורה and read from the Torah. ויש שהיו מניחות גם תפילין, and some of the women would put on tefillin. כל אחת הייתה עטופה בתלית, and they had תלית. וכן היו עושות גם בשבתות, גם בימים טובים, and they would do so in the weekdays and during Shabbatot and during Chagim. ואחר כך היו חוזרות לבתיהן, and they would go back to their homes, ומעוררות בעליהם ובניהם לעמוד להתפלל. And they would wake up their husbands and their sons to get up and to go daven. וזה היו עושים מצד החומרה על עצמם. It's not that the women are obligated to do so, but this is something that they took on themselves as a chumra, as something that they don't have to, but still they're doing. מפני שאנשים פטורות ממצוות עשה שהזמן גרמה. You're not obligated. Women are not obligated in a time-consuming mitzvah. And tefillat shacharit is time-consuming mitzvah, meaning women are not obligated in minyan. You should daven shacharit. I daven by myself at home. כדי שיהיו פנויים להכין הצריך לבעליהם, לכן היו מקדימים להתפלל בעוד בעליהם ישנים. So their way of handling it and putting it into their very scheduled day is that they would wake up very early in the morning and daven even before their husbands would get up. And then they would come back home, wake up their husbands and start taking care of the house and their husbands and doing whatever they need to do. So this is, I think it's a beautiful testament of women in the generation of Rav Mashash. And he's writing here, he's ending it, על הדרך שאמרנו, אחד האיש ואחד האישה, היו קמים לעבודת בוראם. It doesn't matter if you're a man, if you're a woman, you need to get up in the morning to work Hashem, like to your work, to your tefillah, ואישה קודמת לאיש. And the woman would get up before the man. And so where does, mamash in the last minute that I have, where does Rav Mashash taking that from? And this is how he read this Mishnah in Avot. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol haosek batora lishma zoche ledvarim arbe. everyone, and this is the word that he would later emphasize very much so, kol haosek b'Torah lishma, everyone who are dealing with the Torah lishma, meaning not for a purpose, zochel ledvarim marbe, then you are rewarded in many things, velo ed, velo od, ela shekol haolam kulo kedai hu lo, nikra re'a, ahuv, ohev et hamakom, and then the Mishnah is talking about how amazing it is to deal with Torah without any interest. And this is what Rav Mashash is writing in his book about Masechet Avot. Od nira, and it seems to me, it seems more, sheba milat kol lerabot et anashim. Why does Rabbi Meir here in the Mishnah is saying, kol haosek b'Torah lishma? He could have said, mi she'osek b'Torah lishma. And he is saying, kol, everyone. So Rav Mashash is being very, listening very carefully to Rabbi Meir and the Mishnah. And he's saying the word kol is in order to include the woman. She'af she'ena metzuvot b'talmud Torah. And now he's quoting all the places that it says that women are not obligated in learning Torah. But still, im ya'asku ba, nachon? Kol ha'osek b'Torah. If you deal with Torah, so what Rav Mashash is doing here very nicely is that he is dividing. So there's mitzvah that every man is obligated to learn Torah and to teach Torah to his son. Beautiful. But besides that, Rabbi Meir is saying, kol haosek b'Torah. There is also a mitzvah, la'asok b'divrei Torah, meaning to deal with Torah, to learn Torah, to do mitzvot, like everything that it's not, it doesn't have to be specifically to sit and learn, but everything that you are dealing with Torah. And this is something that Rabbi Meir is on purpose saying, kol, in order to include the woman. And Rav Mashash is saying, it's not just that the women are included, it's not just that it's not time-consuming mitzvah, and therefore women are allowed or even obligated to deal with Torah, but also if they'll do it, they'll win a lot of things. What does it mean they'll win a lot of things? Because if you're obligated, if you are a man, so you are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, if you're doing mitzvah, you're getting a reward. But because us, the woman, we are not, it's not a mitzvah, it's not an obligated that we mitzvah that we are obligated in, so we also were losing the reward. Rav Mashash is saying, nachon, maybe you don't have the specific reward of the mitzvah, but you have something else. You're winning other things. Kmo Dvora v'chulda. Dvora was the prophet in the book of Shmuel, Melachim. Chulda from Gemara. Shezachu lenevua mipnei chochmatan v'tzidkatan. V'chen ima shalom, ishto shel Rabbi Eliezer. He was a Tana. Achoto shel Rabban Gamliel. Okay, this is from Masechet Shabbat. Bruria, the daughter of Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradion, ishto shel Rabbi Meir. He's giving us here examples of women throughout the ages, from the time of Dvorah Nevi'ah till the times of the Tanaim, the Amoraim, the daughters of Rashi, Aita kotevet vechotemet shut b'shem Aviah, achoto chilit Miriam eshet Rabbeinu Tam, Chana achoto shel Aribam, meaning he's giving us examples to women throughout the ages, from the days of Dvorah and until his days. Nachon, the sister, the wife of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is the Tosfot, the daughters of Rashi, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Menachem, Ibaalei HaTosfot, his sister. So he's giving us an example to women that were educated and that chose to learn Torah and to write Torah, Nachon, to learn Halakha and to teach Halakha. And he said, even if they are not obligated in Talmud Torah, they are obligated in la'asok b'divrei Torah. Like we're saying every morning in Tfilat Shacharim, in Tfilat Shacharit, in the morning prayers, we're saying la'asok b'divrei Torah lishma. That's it. I actually brought another story. It's a beautiful story, but maybe before we'll go into the story in the time that we have, maybe we should look at the chat. Oli, do you want to help me if there are questions in the chat to look at, and then if we'll have time, we'll go back to the last story.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to scroll back, start from more or less the beginning. Okay. So just trying to, so if Rav Avadya told the shochet that the chicken was not kosher, how could he eat it? I think they mean Rav Mashash. If
the shochet, no, I think they mean the second story about Rav
Avadya. Oh, word. Sorry, I'm confused.
Because I think that it wasn't completely not kosher, but there was some sort of a problem with it that I think Rav Avadya decided that he can lehakel and to eat from that chicken because he understood the distress that this woman had because she had no money and that was the chicken that she bought for her family, for her kids. And therefore, it wasn't completely forbidden and it was some sort of a situation that it was any other person, I think Rav Avadya would have said, it's not kosher, go back to the shochet, it's not okay. But because he saw the woman that's standing in front of him and he understood the mitzuka, the distress that she was in, he decided to lehakel and to take care of it. And not to leave the shochet to continue and do the same mistake. But for this specific woman, the idea is that when you're posek halacha, you can't just look at the books. You have to look at the person that is coming to ask you the question, and you have, according to Rav Mashash, also to look at the time.
Right. That's beautiful. Okay, so someone asked...
Why Sparadim are going to Uman and not to Kivre Tzadikim in North Africa? That's a brilliant question. And I thought it to myself, it was a bus full of women, nachon, that I went, I didn't know anyone. I went by myself, but I went on a program with a group of women. Most of the group was Sephardi. And we found ourselves in Breslev, in the middle of Ukraine, in the middle of a field, screaming Tate. And I thought to myself, all the Sephardi women and everyone are screaming Tate. I couldn't scream Tate because Tate is not mine. It's not my word. It's not something that I could identify with. But I understood the screaming. I understood the Tate. And it's a very good question. And the truth is that I would love to organize a tour to not just Spain. I would love to go to Rif and Rashba and Ken and Rambam. Rambam is actually in Tveria. In my family growing up, we would go to Tveria, to Kivre Tzadikim, to Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes, to the Rambam, Rabbi Yonatan Ben Uziel. So this is something that Baruch Hashem, because we live in Israel, we have the privilege and we are able to do. And I went to Uman because I felt that my tefillah was coming from my sechel and I needed my tefillah to come from my heart as well. So I felt like I needed something to shake up my tefillah. And that's why I've decided to go to Uman. And it was a very, very meaningful experience for me.
Great. Somebody asked, I guess this is in regards to women who cover their hair with wigs, and if it's not about, like, you know, modesty or trying to, I'm not quite sure, but basically they asked, like, it's an interesting that he like talked about that and the fact that like you can go downtown and you can see women with their hair uncovered. So why the wigs? Like, why do people wear wigs, I guess?
Okay, so that's a different shiur that I would love to give on a different time. But that's actually a machloket. And the machloket is, the argument is, why are we obligated in covering our heads? One answer is heker, meaning so that everyone would be able to recognize that this woman is married. And the other answer is tzniut. Tzniut because when a woman is getting married, something in the hair, and this is Kabbali, the source for that is Kabbali, it's from Kabbalah, that once you are married, there's something that needs to stay in between the intimacy, in between the husband and the wife, and the hair is part of that intimacy. According to that, also women that are divorced, or chas v'chalila, widowed, halachically, it's not so simple to take off the head covering. But that's a different topic. Rav Mashash looked at it and said, if it's just a heker, if it's something that we need to recognize, so today you could go with a ring, that will say that you are married. Nachon? I can go, let's say, with a t-shirt that would say, hi, I'm married, please don't approach. The question is, does it have to be head covering? And the other thing is that it's a cultural thing, meaning today, going into the street, you would see a lot of people with their hair outside, and there's nothing that is not sanua about the hair, nachon, because it's something that we all used to look at. But on the other hand, when people are seeing me, they'll know that I'm married. Or they know that something is going on with me. I think we need to go into the Mekorot in Masechet Avodah Zarah, and we need to go into Vayikra about Isha Sota, and to look into the sources more carefully into the sources. But what I wanted to show you about the thought of Rav Mashash, that he said that it has to be also not just according to the Mekorot, according to Masechet Sota, according to Vayikra, according to Masechet Avodah Zarah, but it also has to be related to the time and related to what other people are doing, what is cultural, what is acceptable in the culture. And that was Rav Mashash thinking.
Okay.
I hope I answered your question.
One last one. This was private message to me, but I think this is probably better for you. Are there any books in English about Rav Mashash?
There are articles. I can try. Ooh, you know what I'll do? If you have still another minute, I'm going to share the screen again, and I'll show you the piyut of Rav Mashash. There's article. I'm going to send you the articles if you want. Articles of Rav Mashash in English, and I would love to share it. I'm trying to. Trying to go into the. It's not working for me. Slicha. But I had a beautiful YouTube with Rav David Menachem. I don't know if you've heard of Rav Chacham Menachem. And he wrote he's singing the piyutim of Rav Mashash. Write in YouTube, Rav Chacham David Menachem, Rav Mashash, and you'll find it on YouTube if you want to listen to it. It's beautiful.
Great, and thank you.
Ooh. I'll try to send you the link, both to YouTube and to the articles in English.
Awesome. Do you have any idea where the view in 10, Ura'itim al-Sefer, Ura'iti al-Sefer came from?
Lo evanti, slicha. Do you have any idea where the view in Ura'iti al-Sefer 10 come from? Lo evanti.
I'm not quite sure.
Slicha, I don't understand.
If, Mr. Shore, if you can clarify your question. That would be good.
So in source number 10.
Okay.
Source number 10. That's off for Iti El Sefer. And then he gives a long list of things that he read or saw somewhere. I would be very interested if you have any idea where he might have seen this.
The Mekorot. So you're looking for the sources.
Yes.
Simcha. Let's see. In source number 10. I don't know which one is so. V'ra'iti al sefer. Oh, this one.
Ve'eze makamot b'sfarad hayu hanashim hakshirot hamluvadot kamot hashkama gdola chulei.
So it's very interesting. I also went to look it up because I said, "Ooh, that's an interesting book. I want to read that book also."
Yes.
Where did you find it?
Exactly.
And I didn't see. I my research didn't lead me anywhere. I didn't find it. Because Rav Mashash didn't write exactly what book
Makom.
Is he talking about. Ken, he didn't write Mare Makom. There was no He'arat Shulaim. I went into the book to look for He'arat Shulaim to see on the footnotes maybe he wrote. So I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's something that people are researching and can be found. I'm going to look into it. If I'll find it, I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Do you have a source for the psak that the woman should ride a bicycle? I find that very difficult to believe that there was such a psak.
Ken, I'll find it for you. Not a problem. Rega, I have to write down my homework. Beseder, slicha. I'm writing down.
Hey. Also, you said you were going to share with us one of his piyutim, please.
Ken, I'm going to try again. Maybe I'll try. I have this toolbar at the top of my screen. Oh, here. Yay. Okay, so the words are from Rav Mashash, Milim, Rabbi Yosef Mashash, and the Lachak, the lyric is from Rav David Menachem. He's called Chacham David Menachem. And he's also playing Maim Chaim. That's the book of Rav Mashash.
Don't hear it.
Oh, you can't hear it?
You have to share your sound.
Oh, okay, yeah. How do I do that? Because I can hear it. Rega, how do I share my sound?
If you go to the toolbar on top where it's like your sharing screen, click on it. Just new share, and then when you get the pop-up, you'll see like on the bottom there's like a little checkbox like share computer audio, and just check that off.
Meaning disable, hide, share sound. Okay, tell me if you hear it now. I'm sorry, we have to stop.
Yeah, we have another shiur coming up in about 5 minutes. So,
slicha, aval I highly encourage you to look it up on YouTube. Just write Rav Mashash or Chacham David Menachem. He's got beautiful piyutim, and enjoy.
Thank you so much. That was like really interesting. Thank you for giving the shiur, and thank you for everyone for coming. We have about six more minutes until Rav Alex Israel's teachings of Rabbi Sacks, Zichronam Libracha, starts. So grab yourself a drink or something to eat, and I will see you soon.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Enjoy. Thank you.